Chapter 12. Well, once your people are ready to depart, I'll have one of my Arkans open up a portal to take us to Mistral, I explained in the simplest of terms. But the clan chief stiffened at the mention of the monster goddesses.
A portal?
Grime clarified, and the wolf shifter's yellow eyes flashed in alarm.
We will be traveling by portal? Is that one of your doorways that splits the sky apart?
Boris added, and his thick, bushy eyebrows threaded together in concern. Sometimes I completely forgot portals weren't a fairly normal occurrence to the Southerners, and this was definitely one of those moments. They're perfectly safe, I assure you, I promised the shapeshifters. With the current state of the world, traveling by air or by sea is too dangerous, so we've been relying on teleportation to take us to different locations.
Your goddess will not deceive us.
Jorn spoke up, and I wasn't certain whether the snow leopard shifter's words were a statement or a question. Sarah is under my complete control, I repeated back to him. She will not sway from my direction, and she never has. I can promise you, Chief Jorn, that the portal will hold and transport us back to Mistral without issue. The room fell back into silence, and when the shapeshifting leaders exchanged unreadable expressions with one another, I felt a tinge of nervousness seep in. Was the portal going to be a deal-breaker for the Southerners? Without an aircraft, I had no other option to give them. If they didn't put their complete trust in Sarah and me, I feared the success of our mission. Finally, Chief Jorn cleared his throat and studied me with a level gaze that put my fears to rest.
I trust you, Griff of Njorden Falls, the Snow Leopard Chief decided. And though I don't trust your goddesses, I know you wouldn't suggest this option if there was any potential danger in it. I was only looking out for my people.
Our people will be perfectly safe, Fenrir said. I trust my son-in-law completely in these matters. However, Griff, I do have a question for you. How quickly must we return back to your homeland? You mentioned Luratamba earlier. So I'd ventured you were there before you came to us on Eerie Island?
I was. I nodded in confirmation. I stayed with the Luratamban and Utun leaders to recruit them as well.
The Southern Kingdoms will be joining us in your Mistral,
Boris repeated back, and the Bear Clan leader's small black eyes expanded. Yes, I replied. Queen Lisi, King Ayun, and their armies agreed to assist us in Varlay. In fact, they're already there with my Aunt Kristen.
It truly is a battle for our world,
Boris mused, and he crossed his burly arms against his broad chest.
Despite the circumstances that brought us together, I look forward to meeting with the Southern King and Queen. As do I.
Grime flashed us a grin that showed off his pointy canine teeth.
How long were you guests of the Luratamban Queen?
Fenrir inquired. I was only there for a couple of days, but I don't want any of you to feel rushed, I assured my father-in-law. I know this is a large and sudden favor I've asked of you.
Would 2 days be long enough for you?
The Hawk Clan chief asked me directly.
I think I can safely say the clans can come together in 2 days' time, if we begin preparations now.
2 days would be perfect, I agreed with him. I wanted to return to Varlay as soon as possible, but I needed to grant the shapeshifters adequate time to pack their belongings and prepare for their journey. Normally, under these circumstances, I would have sent Sarah to check in on my lovers back in Mistral, but in light of how much energy she was going to use to open up another enormous portal for the shapeshifters, I decided against it. I had to trust my women and friends had things under control in my absence. 2 days seemed like a long time, but it would go quickly, especially if I remained occupied.
Then we shall leave in 2 days' time,
Fenrir confirmed, and he turned to his fellow chiefs.
There is much we must do, so I'd suggest we part ways and prepare our people for departure.
Thank you all, I addressed the room. You have no idea how much this means to my homeland and how much it means to me.
Of course.
My father-in-law nodded curtly. After we exchanged a few more words about our plans, we parted ways as we'd discussed prior, and the clan chiefs went to speak with their people. I was sent back to my room for the time being, and while there was no more I wanted to do, my exhaustion had finally caught up to me. Between fighting the herd of shadow minions and speaking with the shapeshifters, I was struggling to keep my eyelids open, and the sound of a good night's rest in a comfortable bed was more than appealing. So I traversed the bridges and platforms once more and made my way back to my guest chambers.
"This is wonderful news, Master,"
Huna's voice rang through my mind.
"I'm glad the shapeshifters were so accommodating and willing to provide aid to your army."
"Mistral's army," I reminded the wolf-eared Arkin gently as I rounded the corner and approached the chamber door. "I can't take credit for the entire operation, Huna. I'm just a summoner."
"You really should take more credit, though,"
the warrior goddess countered.
"You aren't some ordinary shifter. If it weren't for you, Mistral would be both blind and incredibly lost. You're much more valuable than you're giving yourself credit for, Griff. But that's all right. You have us to remind you of your power."
"I appreciate the pep talk," I chuckled. "It means a lot, especially coming from you."
"What do you mean by that?"
Huna retorted, and I detected a tinge of defensiveness in the headstrong Arkin's words. "Oh, I only meant that not too long ago we were enemies." I shrugged as I made my way into the bedroom portion of the guest quarters. "Though considering all that's happened since then, our battle in Nattinger feels like a lifetime ago."
"That's very true,"
the wolf goddess agreed with me.
"There was a time when all I wanted to do was defeat you. Now the only battle I wish to wage against you is in the bedroom."
"And that's my perfect kind of battle," I laughed. But the sound was immediately followed by an involuntary yawn.
"I'll let you get some sleep,"
Huna murmured.
"Pleasant dreams, Master."
When the Arkin traipsed back into the recesses of my mind, I stripped out of my battle-torn clothing and discarded it into a pile on the floor. As I climbed into the fur-laden bed, I found myself missing Freya. It was strange to be in my hawk wife's homeland without her, but I reminded myself I would be seeing her and my other Mistral women in only 2 days' time. That realization was enough to lull me to sleep, where I was gifted pleasant dreams of my wives and lovers. The next day, I experienced the slightest sense of déjà vu as I watched the shapeshifters ready themselves the way the Southerners had. Only this time, I refused to stay idle. I caught myself pacing the corridors of Hawk Clan's dwelling, until finally, I heard the unmistakable footsteps of Chief Fenrir.
"You look troubled, my son,"
the Hawk Shifter assessed as his eyes flickered over me.
"Is everything all right?"
"What can I do to help?" I asked my father-in-law when he approached me. "Is there any way I can assist either you or the other chiefs? I'm feeling a little out of place, and want to be useful."
"I appreciate your caring spirit," Freya's father smirked. "It shouldn't surprise me that you feel restless amongst the commotion. The other chiefs and I have everything under control for the time being, so I think it would be best for you to pay a visit to my wife. Perhaps you could sit down and speak with her about our daughters and our beloved granddaughter. I know Rhaetreia misses them all quite dearly."
"If that's where you'd like to have me, I have no problem spending time with her." I gave the Hawk Chief an earnest smile. "Do you happen to know where she is?"
"She should be near one of the designated medical tents on the second level,"
Fenrir considered.
"She's been tending to those who are ill or wounded, and I can't seem to pull her away. She's been there since the same day before yesterday, when the Shadow Beasts attacked our guards. So perhaps some company and news of our daughters would help raise her spirits. At least a little, anyway."
"Are there many people in the medical tents?" I asked, and concern flooded through me at the reminder of the injured guards.
"The only ones who still remain are the guards who were wounded,"
the Hawk Chief promised me.
"Those who had suffered from illness, scrapes, and bruises were given a number of sacred herbs and were deemed well enough to return to their chambers and pack for our upcoming journey."
"Do you think the guards will be well enough to travel?" I wondered.
"It's impossible to say,"
Fenrir sighed, and his dark eyes were downcast as my words hung in the air.
"Rhaetreia is doing her best to make it possible, but I'm not nearly as optimistic as my lovely mate. Outside of making them comfortable, I don't know if anything can be done."
"Well, I'll try to go raise her spirits at least," I decided as I tucked my hands in the pockets of my leather coat. I can't imagine how she must be feeling right now.
Thank you, Griff.
The Hawk Chief nodded at me. And after he gave me one last look, he continued on down the corridor. Once the imposing warrior disappeared from my line of sight, I started to make my way over to the second level of Hawk Clan's dwelling. I'd explored a good amount of my wife's former home in the past, but I'd yet to see any type of medical tent or ward. Part of that may have had to do with the fact that the Hawkshifters were normally stoic and exuded a strength that was unmatched in almost every possible way, but there also hadn't been much reason to visit such a place during my visits. Before I reached the small row of tents, I spotted a familiar face lingering, and when I met her gaze, I received a large smile.
Well, if it isn't my favorite son.
Rhetrea greeted me in the clan language as I approached her.
Hello, Griff. I was wondering when you would grace me with your presence.
Hello, Rhetrea. I grinned back at her, and the Hawk Queen and I shared a brief embrace. I'm sorry it took me so long.
Don't apologize,
Freya's mother insisted with a wave of her hand.
My husband spoke of your dealings with the Shadow Beasts yesterday. I believe it's safe to say you were a bit preoccupied.
Just a little, I chuckled. The Hawk Queen's eyes were bright despite the circumstances, and I wanted to ask her how she was doing, and furthermore, how the guards were, but I didn't want to press too hard too quickly. Luckily for me, the Hawk Queen had other things on her mind.
Griff, might I ask how my daughter is doing?
Rhetrea asked in a quiet voice.
I'd like to hear about both of them, but specifically, how is my Vala? Is she safe?
Vala is safe, I assured the Hawk Queen. She is back in Mistral with the rest of my family, and she's being guarded and watched at all times.
Good.
Rhetrea released a sigh of relief.
I knew she would be just fine with you and the rest of your family, but when the moon changed, I couldn't help but worry about how she was faring. Has Vala had a hard time in your land?
Well, up until recently she's been doing quite well, I answered her, and I offered her a smile. She acclimated to Varlay straight away. She's made some friends, and she even... I stopped in my tracks before I could reveal that Vala found more than just a friend in Mistral. Before Azraneath awakened, Vala had been trying to assimilate to life in Varlay, and as such, we'd taken her along with us to the academy. The first day she'd been with us, we'd given her the full tour, and while we were showing her around the grounds, we ran into our friend, Myrrh. This wouldn't have been too big of a deal if it had not been for Myrrh's origins. Our friend also came from the clans, only, instead of Hawk, he belonged to Moose. Before the clans came together in unity, Moose Clan was the Hawk Shapeshifter's greatest enemy. The fearsome Moose warriors had been responsible for both the kidnapping of Queen Rhetrea years before, which forced Freya to step up to be there for both her people and her family, and the more recent attempt on the royal family's life the last time I'd visited Eerie Island. Suffice to say that even though the clans had found peace with one another, there was still a lingering resentment toward the Moose Shifters, and Freya was no stranger to the prejudiced feelings. She'd disliked Myrrh from the start, and when the Moose Boy started showing feelings toward her younger sister, my blonde wife had gone from outwardly agitated to fully homicidal. It took the battle against Huna and Keela for the Hawk Princess to come around to the idea of the Moose Shifter and her sister's relationship. Now, there were times when she seemed uneasy about the pair, but generally there was a greater acceptance of their bond. However, I was certain Rhetrea and Fenrir weren't going to feel the same way, and I wasn't about to reveal this development until Vala was ready to talk about it. It wasn't my news to share, and I didn't want to risk anything on my sister-in-law's behalf.
She even what?
Rhetrea wondered with a slight tilt of her head. She's even been making strides on learning the Mistral language, I completed my statement.
Oh, that's wonderful,
the Hawk Queen remarked with a proud smile, and I withheld my sigh of relief.
I'm glad to hear she's doing so well. All of that experience up in Mistral will only come in handy later in life when she takes over the ruling of Eerie Island.
She's going to be thrilled to see you, I brought up, and Rhetrea's smile grew wider. I know she's missed you greatly.
I'm excited to see her, too, she said. My Freya Esvail. It was so nice to see you both last time you visited. But after your stay was cut short, it will be wonderful to get quality time in with my daughters and granddaughter. Tell me, has Lara sprouted more feathers yet?
Not yet, I said. And when my mother-in-law's mouth drooped down in disappointment, I quickly added on to my statement. However, I haven't looked too close, so she very well could have. The Hawk Queen and I enjoyed the quiet for a little while, but after a few minutes passed, I noticed Rhetrea's lower lip was trembling, and she wrung her hands nervously.
My husband hasn't told me the full scale of the Shadow Beast's plan for the world, she brought up in a quiet voice. And while part of me doesn't wish to know all of the details, the other parts want to know what it is we might be fighting against. So, please, Griff, can you tell me about this demon? How will you fight it? And what will your army pursue with our additional warriors?
I'd love to give you an answer with all of the details, but the truth is, I have no idea what's to come, I admitted to her. The headmaster and the Grand Mage informed us there was a horde of monsters spotted far beyond our enclave, but the scope and species of the creatures are unknown. We haven't gotten a clear word. But if the monsters we've been facing at my school, along with the monsters that have been spotted in the south, are any indication?
It will be bad, Rhetrea finished,
and her golden brown eyes were solemn as they bore into mine.
I figured as such. The shadow beasts that have plagued clan territories have been gruesome, Griff. I've witnessed horrendous beings in my time, and yet these creatures and the one that looms over us fill me with dread I've never felt before. It's so unnatural.
The demon has existed far before our world was even thought of, I mentioned. From all I've gathered, Azraneath is a being of pure evil, and it won't stop until it's drained the planet of all of its light.
I know you will find some way to vanquish Azraneath, Griff, of Njordan Falls and Hawkclan,
the Hawk Queen declared, and she reached out and took my hands in hers.
There is no warrior alive that is so determined to fight for those he loves, except for maybe my husband. You will find a way to restore the light. I have the utmost faith in you.
Thank you, I said softly, and I found myself at a loss for words. My mother-in-law was one of the sweetest people I'd ever met, and I saw so much of her personality and spirit reflected in Freya. When Rhetrea released her hold, her arms fluttered gracefully to her sides, but when her gold-flecked brown eyes darted over to the tents beyond us, she hugged them across her chest, as if she'd suddenly caught cold.
It was nice to hear about my daughters, Rhetrea said with a half-smile. My mind has been preoccupied by much less pleasant matters, so the distraction was quite nice. Unfortunately, I can't abandon the more negative problems any longer. I need to return to the tents.
That's another reason I'm here, I gently pressed. Chief Fenrir mentioned you were attending to the guards who were injured. I think he's worried about how you're doing.
Leave it to my mate to worry about me when there are others in more need of the attention,
Rhetrea murmured.
I appreciate you coming here, but there's little that will ease my mind on that matter.
I know I can't magically remove your tension, but would talking about things make you feel any better? I wondered.
I don't know,
the Hawk Queen admitted.
There's been so much death and destruction lately. The trio of Hawkland guards were lucky enough to survive the attack, but I feared they will never be able to fly again. No matter what we have tried, our medicines have not helped, and I fear that if they do not receive help soon, they will die from their wounds.
Maker, I breathed. Rhetrea, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you,
the Hawk Queen said, and her gold-flecked brown eyes grew downcast.
I know losing loved ones is part of a war, and yet...
It doesn't make it any easier, I finished for her, and the Hawk Queen nodded solemnly. Trust me, I understand completely.
Kella, Luca, and Bjorn are some of my dearest friends, she remarked. They've been a part of our family's guard for years, and I've come to love them as if they were my own blood. I hate the thought of losing them, but they aren't responding to the medicines our healers have provided. I feel so sorrowful. But at this point, all I'm able to do is make sure they're comfortable. I owe them that at least.
I'm sure your kindness means the world to them, I said, and I peered at the tent in the distance. Are they resting in there?
Yes,
Rhaetreia nodded.
I need to get back to them right away. I've been away for far too long. If you wouldn't mind helping me administer herbs for their injuries, I would be most grateful.
I'm more than happy to help, I assured her. My mother-in-law gestured for me to follow her, and together we moved over to the tent. Rhaetreia brought me into one of the small dwellings, and the moment I crossed through the threshold, I was greeted by an odor so strong it nearly knocked me to my knees. After so many years and so many missions throughout Mistral and the southern continent, I was no stranger to the smell of decay, but the odor that wafted through the tent was so strong, my suspicions were confirmed. These shapeshifters weren't likely to survive. The hawk guards were laid out on cots, and their forms were somewhere between man and hawk. Though their bodies were human, they retained their raptor's wings, and I winced as I took in the sight of their broken feathers. Few remained completely intact. The dark black liquid oozed from every break in their skin. As Renaeth's shadow minions had done a number on the trio, and I couldn't imagine the type of pain they were experiencing. Perhaps their unconsciousness was a blessing in disguise. The shifter's human skin was a sickly pale yellow shade, and when I carefully pushed their eyelids up, I was sad to see the whites of their eyes were no different. Their bodies were shutting down from the inside out, and there was no type of medicine that would help bring them back from the brink. It was so bad, I didn't think even Arwen or Meriden would have been able to do much for the trio, and the crimson-haired professor and the adept healer were two of the most powerful I knew. Maker, I sighed, and then I heard Rhaetreia's soft footsteps behind me.
It is sad to see such powerful guards reduced to a state like this,
Freya's mother sighed, and she shook her golden-haired head back and forth when I turned around.
To see my people in such a state because of some loathsome creatures. Our healers have attempted to nurse them to health, but the most they can achieve is making them merely comfortable. I wish there was more we could do for them, but our shamans are nothing like your lovely red-headed healer.
I wish Arwen was here, I lamented. She would surely know how to heal them, or at least the right steps to take.
I wish she was as well.
The Hawk Queen offered me a half-smile, and then she approached the female in the group. Rhaetreia brushed the woman's hair from her face, leaned down, and gently kissed her temple.
My poor Kayla.
I know things look grim, Rhaetreia, but I want to help you in any way I can, I assured my mother-in-law, and I straightened up and rolled my shoulders back. None of your people will be lost. Not if I have anything to say about it.
Unless you are a healer yourself, Griff of Mistral and Hawklan, I do not know what you can do.
Rhaetreia sighed, and she hugged her arms around herself once again.
I wish I had the magic to do it myself. I would give anything to have that sort of power at my disposal, especially when it could save their lives.
I'm not a healer, but one of my Arkans is, I suddenly realized, and I straightened my posture. The goddess Xanrith, she has the magic of resurrection, and she used it to heal me when I was on the brink of losing my life. I've witnessed her gift myself. There's no greater healer in the realm. She might be able to heal the shapeshifter's wounds. Rhaetreia paused, and her golden brown eyes seemed endless as they stared into mine. It was clear this wasn't her first choice by any means, but after a minute, she finally spoke up.
Do you really think Xanrith can save them?
The Hawk Queen asked cautiously.
She wouldn't bring them more harm?
Her magic is powerful, I insisted. I've seen her do incredible things with her gift, especially when the situation felt impossibly dire. I really think she's capable of healing the guards. Please, let us at least try. What's the good in having all of this power at my disposal if I can't use it to help those in need?
I do not know how they would react to the sight of a monster goddess when they awake,
the Hawk Queen said cautiously.
Though, if the magic is capable, I also do not see them having any other choice.
If you're comfortable with it, I'll call upon her, I said, and I gave my mother-in-law my most comforting expression. It's truly no trouble at all.
I suppose you're right,
Rhaetreia agreed, and the Hawk Queen nodded her head in consideration for a moment before she spoke again.
I don't see any other option, especially since we've exhausted almost every resource at our disposal. Perhaps your goddess will have some luck.
I can promise you. Xanrith will do everything in her power to heal them, I replied. I can't guarantee they'll be perfectly healed.
Anything is better than nothing,
my mother-in-law insisted, and then she took a long, deep breath.
I will give you and your Arkan some privacy. I will be outside the tent should you need me.
Thank you, Rhaetreia. I bowed my head in respect. The golden-haired queen bowed her head back, and then left the tent without another word. Once she was gone, I stepped in closer to the trio of hawkshifters and examined them once more. When I stared at their broken wings and blood-spattered bones, my heart ached. These poor people had only been fulfilling their duty and protecting the other shapeshifters from harm. While being a guard or any other type of military figure always came with risks, I wouldn't have wished these injuries on my worst enemy. Except for Azraneath, of course. I vowed to find a way to truly avenge the hawk shapeshifters who'd lost their lives. But for now, I made myself refocus on the task at hand. Then I reached into my consciousness until I found Xan. I need your help, I pleaded with the azure-winged Arkan. We have to save these people.
Oh my!
Xan gasped, and I could feel her state of awe echo through my mind.
I can't believe the Shadow Minions inflicted so much damage upon them. Their injuries are so deep.
Can you save them? I pressed. Please, Xan. These are my wife's people. I can't let them die, not if I have a way to help.
I think I can,
the umber-skinned goddess replied.
But in order for my magic to be at its most effective, I need you to summon me forth. Channeling my power through you makes it slightly less concentrated. And these shapeshifters are going to need all of the help they can get.
That makes perfect sense to me, I said. In that case, I'm going to summon you forth. I concentrated on releasing the Arkan from the confines of my mind, and my ribcage began to tingle as her mark began to leave my body. When the blue-black essence smoke cleared, Xan stood in the tent before us, and I felt my heart race in my chest as I gazed lovingly at the gorgeous Arkan.
Hello there, Master.
The goddess greeted me with a lovely smile.
Is it wrong for me to say I'm happy to see you?
I'm happy to see you too, I admitted to her. Despite the circumstances, it's nice to see your face. Are you doing all right?
I'm doing quite well,
Xan assured me, and then she turned her attention to the pair on the cots.
Them, however, so much suffering. It's truly heartbreaking to see them in such pain.
Yes, I nodded. They're in bad shape. I don't know if anything can be done, but I promised Rhaetreia we'd at least attempt to find a way to bring them back from whatever they're experiencing. To my relief, the hawkshifters were too out of it to be alarmed by the sight of the monster goddess, so Xan was able to get close to them without inciting fear. She lightly ran her fingertips over one of the shifter's wings, and the warrior didn't even flinch like I expected. He just remained still, and my ears were filled with the sick, wet sound of his breathing. It was a haunting noise I knew would plague me in my dreams to come, but I weathered through it.
Wow!
She sighed sadly.
This is terrible, Griff. They've been hurt so badly. The deepness of their wounds, combined with the amount of toxins in their body. It's no wonder they cannot shift back into their human forms. They're too injured, too sick. I'm surprised they even survived.
But can you help them? I asked in a hopeful tone. Please, tell me there's some type of way. I'm willing to try literally anything to help them out.
I think there is.
Xan nodded, and she took the hand of the woman on the right. The Arkan closed her fingers around the hawks, and her amethyst eyes seemed to glow a shade brighter as she peered down at the woman.
We should start with this one. She's losing her internal battle at a rapid pace, but she's not so far away I cannot reach her. It will merely take some coaxing, and I will do my best to return her to her rightful planes.
Do anything you can, I urged the goddess. Please. Not only did I genuinely want to save these people, but if I could give the shapeshifters' chiefs any further reason to completely trust my Arkans, I would take it. They were still so wary of the monster goddesses, but maybe this would be all it took to finally bridge that trust.
I will,
she said. The goddess closed her eyes, and the room fell so silent, I caught myself holding my breath out of fear of making a sound. I felt my mana flex within me, and I watched in amazement as Zan began to work her magic. The wounds that covered the hawkshifter's wings began to fade, and the colors of her feathers brightened until they returned to a golden brown. The woman's skin lost its yellow sheen, and it soon took on a healthy porcelain hue. Her cracked, blackened lips grew full and pink again, and the blood that poured from her nose dried up until it vanished entirely. Wow, I remarked, and my voice caught in my throat as I beheld the amazing sight. I'd seen Zan's magic countless times before, but it never ceased to amaze me how the goddess was able to take someone or something on the verge of crossing over and return them to the realm of the living. Resurrection magic was intense, and of all of the Arkans' powers, Zan's was some of the strongest. Moments later, Zan pulled away slowly, and after the young woman took a long, deep breath, she gasped and sat up suddenly as if she'd awoken from a deep slumber. Her pale green eyes darted around the tent, and once they found Zan, they widened to twice their size.
What are...
she started to say in the language of the clans, but I stepped over to her before she could freak out. It's okay, I assured the woman. She's not here to hurt you, I promise. What's your name?
Kella,
the hawk woman said, and her eyes remained cautious as she addressed me.
My name is Kella, of the Hawk Clan.
It's nice to meet you, Kella, I said. My name is Griff, and this is Zanrith.
I know your face,
Kella said slowly, and she tilted her head to the side in a bird-like way.
You are the husband of Princess Freya.
I am, I confirmed. We were brought here by Queen Rhaetrea to try to save you. I promise you, Kella. We mean you no harm. Kella didn't seem quite convinced, so Zan and I hung back a little until she could calm down. A million emotions seemed to cross the shapeshifter's mind, until finally, she gulped and then turned to Zan.
Thank you for saving me,
she breathed.
I am sorry for my harsh words. I did not expect to wake such a fantastical being. I was afraid you were a reaper, ready to take me away to the afterlife.
It's okay,
Zan assured the woman in a soothing voice.
You woke up from a severe sickness. I'm sure it was a great shock to see others in your tent.
It is not so bad,
Kella insisted, though her eyes were still cautious.
I have heard many stories about the monster goddesses, but you do not look scary at all. You almost look like some kind of angel.
I appreciate the compliment,
my umber-skinned lover replied.
Now, answer me this question, if you don't mind. How are you feeling? I drained out as much of the poison as I could, but with how potent it is, I want to make sure I actually removed all of it before I leave.
I feel great,
Kella remarked. But when she glimpsed the hawk at her side, her smile faded.
Okay, I don't feel absolutely perfect, but I am clearly in much better shape than I was prior to your assistance. However, I am not so worried about my own well-being as I am of my husband's.
Husband's. The man beside her was her mate. No wonder her eyes had kept darting over when she was meant to be relishing in her own replenished health. Her mind was on her husband, and I didn't blame her in the slightest. Over the past few years, my mistral lovers had discovered me in various stages of mana exhaustion, and I was certain they felt similar emotions each time.
Please, can you help my Luca?
Kella asked, and she gestured at the shifter beside her.
My husband has been suffering for longer than I. Had it not been for him and Bjorn, I never would have made it back to the Hawk Clan. He helped carry me part of the way into the mountain.
I can heal him,
Zan nodded, and then the azure-winged Arkan crossed over to the man's bedside and held his hand in hers. Kella winced, and though her words toward the goddess had been kind moments earlier, there was still a protective air between her and her mate. Not that I could blame her. If I'd awoken to a goddess holding onto my lover's hand, I would have been equally cautious.
Please, be careful,
the hawk woman whispered. He's in good hands, I promise, I assured her. Both of them are. Zan was able to heal your wounds with no difficulty. Luca will be just fine. While I took steps to ease Kella's worry, Zan began to work her resurrection magic on the Hawkman, and I sensed another tug at my mana as her power began to work on the injured shifter. I finally seemed to convince Kella the threat wasn't what she imagined it to be, and after a moment or two, she settled down and watched the Arcan heal her mate. Before our eyes, Luca's wounds began to heal, and color returned to his pale cheeks. Not long after that, he sat up suddenly and began to gasp for air. His red-brown eyes were frantic as they darted around, and his movements were akin to a startled animal as he tried to rise to his feet. However, the moment he was on 2 feet, his legs wobbled, and he fell flat on the ground.
Who are you?
He demanded as I rushed over to aid him. I'm Griff, I introduced myself in his native language. I mean you no harm, I swear. Please, take my hand and I'll help you up.
Griff?
The Hawkman asked, and my name on his tongue almost sounded like a curse.
I do not know.
He stopped mid-sentence when Kella knelt down beside us, and the moment he realized his wife was there, his lower lip began to tremble, and his eyes spilled over with tears.
Hello, Luca.
His wife greeted him, and immediately Luca flung his arms around her and grasped on to Kella for dear life.
Luca, you are safe,
his wife assured him in a delicate voice.
Griff of Njordenfalls is a friend to us. Him and his friend healed our wounds.
Oh, Kella,
he cried, and his voice was muffled in her shoulder.
Oh, my Kella, I thought I'd lost you forever.
I thought you were lost to me as well, my mate,
Kella whispered. As the Hawkshifters embraced, I quietly rose to my feet and crossed over to Zan. The Arcan studied the husband and wife with a solemn but curious expression that confused me greatly. Zan, I prompted her, is everything all right?
Yes,
she assured me, and her lips curled into a smile.
I was simply observing them. The love of a pair of mates is still such a wonderful and strange thing to witness. It's a powerful force, one that I don't think is given enough credit. It's almost a magic in itself.
You're absolutely right, I agreed with her. The Azure-Winged Arcan was right. Love was a powerful force, and amidst all the war and battle, getting to see examples of such devoted affection was important. It reminded us that there was something worth fighting for, even when things got tough. Luca and Kella stood up for a minute, and the pair of shapeshifters turned to face us with grateful smiles.
Griff of Njordenfalls and Zanrith, Luca spoke up first. Thank you for what you have done for my wife and I. Had you not intervened, I fear I would have lost my darling mate forever.
Zan deserves all of the praise, I assured the man. But thank you for your kindness.
It was my pleasure to help,
Zan chimed in.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and work my magic on your friend. In a few moments, the three of you will be healthier than you've ever been.
True to her word, the goddess turned her attention to the final Hawk Clan guard, and a few minutes later, he was lucid enough to set up an alarm once she was finished.
Fair am I,
the shapeshifter cried out as his brown eyes grew as wide as saucers.
Am I dead?
You aren't dead, Bjorn.
Kella spoke up, and she moved over to the shapeshifter's side.
We're right here.
How did we get here?
Bjorn asked quietly, and his eyes were still fixated on Zan.
I don't remember anything.
You battled against a shadow monster, I informed the Hawkshifter in my most soothing voice. You three, along with a small group of other guards, were patrolling the island.
I remember now,
the Hawk guard interrupted me, and his head shook back and forth as he wrung his hands in his lap.
There were more than one of those beasts. In fact, there were many. They were larger and stronger than a normal animal. I remember getting stabbed by one of them when I stepped in front of Bela.
Bjorn stiffened up suddenly and looked around the tent. Bakella gently placed her hand on the guard's hand. The pair seemed to have an entire conversation with just one glance. and I watched the sadness cloud over in Bjorn's eyes. Bela had probably been one of the other guards who was slain in the skirmish. "Shall I collect the chief or someone else to check in on you?" I inquired, but the trio of hawkshifters shook their heads in unison.
"Honestly, I think we'd prefer to retire to our own chambers for the evening."
Kella spoke for the pair, and she threaded her fingers through Luca's.
"These cots are well enough, but they aren't exactly as comfortable as our own beds. And besides, we have a lot we're going to need to think over in our own private quarters. No offense to you, of course, but we've been through an ordeal."
"By all means, do what makes you comfortable," I said. "If you'd like, I can escort you back to your room to make sure you can walk there all right. It's not my intention to baby you, I just want to make sure you're all right to move around."
"Thank you for your concern, Grief,"
Kella said in an appreciative tone.
"I think I'll be able to walk with little difficulty. It's strange to say, but I feel better than I felt in years. It's remarkable."
"As do I," Bjorn agreed with a vigorous nod of his head. "It's as if I've been healed of years worth of injuries. Physical ones, at least."
"I think some quality rest is well deserved," I said, and I crossed over the entrance of the tent and held the flaps up for the trio of shapeshifters. "Please try to get some proper sleep. Should you find yourselves feeling sick or faint again, don't hesitate to call on me."
"Thank you,"
Kella whispered once again.
"That means so much to all of us."
"Yes, thank you, Griff,"
Luca said, and the shapeshifter gripped my forearm.
"We owe you our lives."
"Don't even mention it," I insisted, and I gave them a half-smile. Once the hawk guards left the tent, I recalled Zan to my consciousness. My ribcage tingled as her mark returned to my body, and once the sensation faded and the wards around her were tightened in my mind, I stepped out of the tent. Rhetrea was waiting for me, and before she could say a single word, her eyes expressed her gratefulness.
"Thank you, Griff," the Hawk Queen whispered. "I believed I would never talk to them again. I can't imagine what could have happened if it weren't for your intervention. In the past 2 days, you've done more for HawkClan than we could have ever truly thanked you for. I knew you were capable of much greatness, but I wasn't sure if the guards were going to be able to survive the attack, or if they were too far gone for your goddess to revive them."
"Zan's healing abilities are pretty impressive," I said. "As I mentioned before, she's returned me from the brink before. I'm glad we were able to meet with the guards. They should be more than well enough to travel when we depart for Mistral." Rhetrea opened her mouth, but instead of saying anything, the blonde Hawk Queen decided to throw her arms around me and give me a strong but comforting hug. It was the kind of embrace mothers gave their children, and the warmth that spread through me was quite pleasant. We stood there for a moment or two, and I could tell by the way she held me this hug was healing for the both of us.
"Now that they're healed, I suppose I should begin packing for the upcoming journey,"
my mother-in-law decided when we parted.
"With everything that has happened here, I have yet to even think about packing."
"Go ahead," I insisted. "I think you could definitely use some time away from here. And packing could be a welcome distraction after it all."
"This is why you're my favorite,"
Rhetrea chuckled. "I don't have much competition, but I'll take the praise anyway," I laughed. The Hawk Queen and I parted ways, and as I watched her move down the corridor, I felt a strange sense of purpose. While it was awesome to be Griff, Beastmaker and Monster Fighter extraordinaire, my true love was helping people in any way I could, and I was grateful I had the resources to aid the guards. The next morning, the clans were packed and ready for battle. Luckily for all of us, the shapeshifters traveled to light, and anything they needed, they wore on their person. Each of the clans were outfitted with their traditional war tunics, and among them I spied furs, leathers, and feathers of varying degrees. Some had even taken time to apply primitive but totally badass streaks of face paint that made them look even more hardcore than they were, and I admired the level of dedication they put into their war gear. For the most part, the people of Mistral either wore military uniforms or robes in colors that denoted their affiliation of summoner, adept, or elementalist. Between the shapeshifters, the Otoons, and the Luritambans, our army was going to be quite impressive, and Azraneath was definitely going to meet their match. Our realm wasn't going down without a fight.
Grave, easy time.
Fenrir addressed me once we were all gathered at the entrance of Eerie Island. His fingers were threaded through Rhaetrea's, and my in-laws wore the same expression I'd seen on Freya's face time and time again. It was a look of quiet resignation, and it signified the calm before the storm. With a pair of Hawk leaders on my side, I knew we could accomplish anything. It's time, I agreed, and then I turned to Sarah. Thanks to some illusion magic from Fi, the Arkan was clad in some less revealing clothing to keep the shapeshifters from gawking too thoroughly. And though I knew she wasn't a fan of covering up her glorious body, I appreciated Sarah's efforts to keep the peace with our allies. I would definitely reward her for it later, but for now, I offered her a small smile to tide her over. The yellow-eyed Arkan winked at me, and then she offered a wordless nod before she swiftly moved to the front of the crowd of shapeshifters. When she waved her hand in the air, the telltale shimmer appeared, and once a doorway began to open in front of us, the air around us was filled with the sounds of gasps, whispers, and even a few whimpers of fear. I turned back around and was met with the terrified eyes of the shifters, and I knew I had to quickly put their minds at ease before they panicked. "Don't be scared," I addressed my wife's people in their native tongues. "I promise no harm will come to you if you step through this portal. It's just a bridge to my native land, to Mistral, and passing through it only feels like a few seconds. It's entirely painless. The only potential danger exists on the other side, and to prevent that, please, make sure your extremities are covered completely, as little skin showing as possible. I don't know what the air will be like in Varlay, but I can't and won't risk any of you getting sick before we arrive. Okay?" The shapeshifters uttered sounds of approval, and they all collectively began to wrap themselves tighter in their furs and coverings. While they suited up, I decided to do the same thing in order to maintain my cover. I hadn't worn a mask when I'd entered Hawkland's dwelling, but the Hawk guards were likely too preoccupied to notice my lack of facial protection. Just as I had with the other southerners, I needed to keep up the ruse, at least for a little longer. Once we were all geared up and protected, Chief Fenrir moved to the front of the clans to take the lead with Rhaetrea at his side. When the pair of Hawkshifters reached the portal, Fenrir turned to face me with a particularly strong expression.
"Is it safe to walk through it now, Grave?"
Fenrir inquired. "Absolutely," I replied.
"Then I will see you on the other side."
My father-in-law gave me a brief nod, and then he and Rhaetrea walked right into the portal. My jaw dropped as the Hawk Clan leaders disappeared completely, and when I glanced over my shoulder at the other shapeshifters, they seemed to share a similar sentiment. The cave broke out into a symphony of gasps, and for a moment or two, I was worried my wife's people would change their minds. However, when the initial shock faded from their voices, I realized their fear was the same I'd felt toward the other southerners before they'd gone with my aunt back to Varlay. The clans were strong, and that was further demonstrated when some of the crowd shifted forward toward the portal.
"Onward to Mistral,"
Chief Boris declared, and the Bear Clan leader confidently stepped through the portal. Once he disappeared, Chiefs Grime and Jorn followed suit, and the rest of the shapeshifters weren't far behind. As the last few shifters filed in, I peered around at Hawk Clan's dwelling. It was strange to see the place so emptied out, but there was a huge sense of relief knowing the shapeshifters were coming to our aid. Once Azraneath and the impending herd of monsters were defeated once and for all, I would see to it that the shapeshifters' home was returned to its former glory, even if I had to spend some time on Eerie alone. Sarah fixed her gaze on me when the pair of us were alone, and she crooked her finger toward herself.
"Hello, my love,"
the Arkan purred as her blue-black wings flared out behind her.
"Are you ready to return home?"
"I most definitely am," I nodded, and a sigh rose up from my chest. "I'm ready to see my home, my women, my children."
"Then let's go,"
Sarah replied, and she held her hand out to me.
"Let us not delay any further. There's a war to fight, and people for you to lead."
"Damn right," I grinned at the goddess. "Let's go home."